up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis.
I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Hey, you just lost somebody $60,000. Nobody wants to make that money back for more than you do. Just saying. That's the kind of guy you are, you know? S&P futures up 3.25, and NASDAQ futures up 35. Big day today. We have Coinbase. We have earnings starting today with the banks. We have J.P. Morgan Chase beats analyst estimates as bank releases $5.2 billion in loan loss reserves. So I guess that's good. J.P. Morgan is down $1.14 early morning trading here, which is a little unusual, giving all that good news. Of course, we had inflation came in yesterday hotter than expected, and the bonds were actually up on the day. So that's a little interesting. Coinbase gets a reference price of $250 per share from NASDAQ ahead of Wednesday's direct listing. Now, these guys made, well, they had a huge amount of revenue in the first quarter because Ethereum and the other one keep going up. But the last quarter last year, when they were going down, they didn't do squat. So they really are sort of tied to whether Bitcoin and some of these other ones go up. And I don't know. Guys like Cramer saying what a great deal it is. Well, explain to me this, man. If you have a stock, you know, back in 1999, say, or maybe even now, that is so ridiculously high based on its price, just on feel, you know, say 80 times revenue or something, what's really the difference between that and having, like, nothing of value there at all? What's the difference, really? Might as well be a coin of some kind, right? I mean,
yeah, that's a good point.
It's at some point there really is no difference. I think our man Kevin's calling in from the car, so at some point we'll hear from him.
I don't know. Right now, it appears our phone lines are down again.
Can't even call out?
No. Which they were fine yesterday, so we're off to a good start here.
Not to mention people tried to kill us on the way in. Within traffic. We had that going for us.
Well, what the hell? Yeah, I can't get a phone line of or dial tone of any kind right now.
Let me see if I can. I can. That's good for me. Doesn't help you out much.
Sounds the same thing that you guys were going through last week when I was out.
Well, somehow or
another, phone lines are working fine, and these are not.
Well, somehow or another, AT&T shutting the system down and turning it back on, I didn't really think it was a fix. Did you?
No. And no explanation of what went wrong in the first place.
No. And we're not sure exactly how that is. Anyway, there's plenty of news today. So, you know, I think I know where Kevin is, to be honest with you. He's probably off with Russell. GOP donors, leaders discuss plans to take on big tech corporations during retreat at Trump's Mar-a-Lago. Did you read this?
No.
Were you there?
No, I didn't. And why are GOP leaders still meeting with Trump?
Well, I mean, he's...
They're not meeting with George W. Bush.
Well, Trump can run again. Bush can't.
That's true.
And there's a lot of people who want him to. And there's a lot of people who he still has, you know, 20% of the population are big Trumpers. I mean, there's no question about that. So, I mean, he still commands an awful lot of people. I mean, whoever runs would want his blessing for sure. Right.
I don't know.
Well,
maybe.
If you get to, well, if you get 20 or 25% of the base, you're willing to take. So what do you need of the rest? A third?
Yeah, that's true.
And if you do the math, and I don't think there's a lot of people happy with either side. So there's a lot of people in flux in the middle. I mean, if you put somebody up there who's a, I mean, I can't figure out who the hell, where the power base is here now. I mean, it's just, and I just, I'm having real problems becoming less of a conspiratorial person. Because none of this is how I was raised, man. I mean, none of it was, the stuff I see now, I can't break away the politics from the money and from the BS, to be honest with you. The whole idea of these corporate people. Now, explain to me this, and you're on our liberal side here, and that's fine. This thing with Coca-Cola and the voting thing in Georgia. Like I said, I tried to read the voting thing. Well, I didn't try to. I'm capable of reading it. But I'll be honest with you, I was like a boat in the middle of the ocean. I don't know if this is a big wave, a little wave, or so. I could see where they were getting more restrictive on some things. All right, so that part, I'm not that obtuse. But I honestly, without having the other 49 states, sitting next to me, I don't really know how to compare it. And and when they say, we're gonna go from, something stupid. We're gonna go from 10 places to drop ballots per ward, for instance, to 5. Seems to me like it's getting a little restrictive based on what it was. Now, does everybody else have 1 or they have 20? I mean, first blush seemed to me they were making things a little more restrictive. I don't know how restrictive, and I don't know if there were problems with the other stuff. So I really can't even, other than a hunch that it's getting more restrictive, I really don't know. But I'm also not the chairman of Coca-Cola. I don't have those kinds of resources. Now, if it was me, this is showing my education and my age, I would say what I would do, does anybody even have a newspaper anymore? I would buy a quarter page, which of course I can do at Coca-Cola, I got more money than God. I would buy a quarter page and I would say, hi, my name's Tom Howe, I'm the chairman of Coca-Cola, and I read this law and we have researched it, and we think that this law is not a good law for people. It becomes way too restrictive and blah, blah, and here's 10 reasons why. And say, okay, we now have 8 places to drop ballots per precinct. Every other state has 20. You know, the minimum is like, North Dakota, and they got 7 or whatever. I mean, there should be 5 or 10 reasons where you prove to people you read the damn thing, and you say, this is what they have here, here's where it should be, here's where other people are, and here's what's fair. So some sort of an education to say to everybody, look, here's a guy who actually gives a crap. He read it, or he had somebody read it, and he at least reviewed the work. And he's I didn't know that was in there. But he's pointing out 5 or 10 reasons why it's a bad law, because the thing's 90-some pages long. And I'm sure, my guess is that probably that's in there. I don't know. But that would be my style. Now, right now, to me, there's a connection between the NCAA tournament, the woke movement, the incredible amount of advertising on incredibly high sugar drinks, which we know are huge in the minority community, and the immediate concern about this law. Are they all connected, or does he actually really care about the law? Or is it just all selling more Cherry Coke? I mean, I honestly don't know, Matty, but I really feel like somewhere or another, this is getting really skewed. Why can't they just write a paper? Here's Coca-Cola's position paper on this law. Here's the 10 things we think are egregious. By the way, change these 10 things, we're with you. Because here's where all the other states are, and here's what's fair. Does anybody get to do that anymore, or is it always some combination of PR, marketing, money, some other BS? I'm asking a question.
It's a good question, and I don't know the answer, but I will say that there's no doubt that any company is always going to operate with making money as their best interest, whether they'll tell you that or not. So there was certainly, you know, they weighed the pros and cons of their stance and decided that they wouldn't lose anything and could potentially even gain by doing it, I would think. I just think these companies are very calculated and money's first no matter what they would tell you. So I think I agree with you on that whether it's, you know, hey, the minority groups are a huge part of our business and our target audience, and this will score well. I'm sure that was whiteboarded somewhere internally that was immediately erased, but I'm sure it was talked about.
I don't where exactly, for a guy who, you know, still thinks people go to church once in a while, even though I don't, except for some years I go to more funerals and weddings, I think, than I should, but I never saw anywhere in my Catholic education or my parents' education to where if you get enough money, you can just be amoral and your own responsibility is to money. Where does it say that? Where did you find a nun that told you that? If you get rich enough, you don't have to worry about anybody else.
Huh. Well, I think they would at least tell you that they actually are worried about people.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, I think from... I don't care about politics that much, almost not at all. These days, and haven't for a few years. I've just become completely numb to it.
You're trying.
Yeah, I just have become completely numb to it, and I just truly don't care. And maybe that's privilege in its own right.
What happens when the taxes in your new condo double?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Well, then I'd have to either pay them or leave, I guess, right?
Or sell it for less than you bought it for.
Or you could do that, too, yeah. But that's the risk you take when you buy a property that people have been doing for hundreds of years.
Yep.
So, you know, I couldn't really, I don't care.
I mean, well, it's...
Like, that's been, taxes have gone up for, what, 300 straight years in the world over a period of time?
But it comes to...
never gone down.
It comes to somewhat of a matter of degree, and it also comes down to what position or condition you and the wifey are in. If the double tax bill comes on the same day one of you gets laid off, it's a different hit than if the day you both get a raise.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that's everyone at some point in their lives, not everyone, but the American dream, everyone that is able at some point in their lives have bought a home or have made an investment or done something, and with different reasons on why they did it based on, you know, the timing they did it. And
reasons are always the same. You get married, you have a wife, you decide to have some kids, you got one bedroom and you need two. I mean, the reasons are always the same.
That's typically why, yeah. I mean, it's very rare that someone can say, you know, hey, I think the taxes are going to stay the same for the next 5 years. Let's buy a house. Or, hey, I think this is the bottom of a housing market,
well, you know,
when no one knows. I mean, that's, life doesn't work that way. You're of age and you have money at a very certain particular time, and like you said, you need a second bedroom or you need a garage or you need whatever it is you need, and that's when you do it. And then this idea that you would worry about a tax bill 3 years from now is asinine. You can't do that. That's not the way the world works.
No, but there are times. Okay, back in I mentioned this yesterday, you were not here, but a friend who used to listen to the show, I don't know what happened to her, wandered off into the sunset, but she lived way the hell west. And I mean, it's a part of the city, Maddie. If somebody didn't live there and you didn't visit, you wouldn't even know where it was, right? it's like Belmont and Orange, both in the O's. They're so far west, it's so scary. I mean, you can't
play golf over there.
Yeah, you can't get there from here. I mean, the Kennedy's too far north, the Eisenhower's too far south. So
you have to take like Belmont for like an hour.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And you know, if you take the bus in, it's like a day. And you have to take like the Northwestern train in or something. But anyway, but those houses, because it's, you know, it's a nice neighborhood, they're all frame. They have nice lots. You know, they all got garages. I mean, it's your basic, you know, blue collar neighborhood. Those houses got to be like four something in 2007, to where there wasn't a person in the hood that you know, could afford their own home. You know, but there are times. I mean, you're right. Taxes never really go the other way, but you've never really seen a situation where your interest rates and your taxes are both basically landmines waiting for you to roll over, you know, type of thing. So you hope that you get, and I hope you did, you hope that you get a price on your place that's reflective of that, so that even though the other stuff is going to go against you the next 4 years, that the price you paid is okay to where you're going to be all right. And you hope it's reflective, because you know taxes are going up, and oh, by the way, there's no way to, interest rates are staying where they are. I mean, they just aren't, especially with the numbers yesterday that came out. By the way, I got a thing from, I'll dig it up here while we keep talking. I get one of my bizarre, people that send me stuff, but I'm on one of these, ridiculous sites it's not like it's porn or anything, but they send you all kinds of stuff regarding, what's going on in the market and in society and so forth. But once in a while, people catch a graph, that I don't see. And this one is, one of the things that I have not mentioned, as I was ranting with Brendan yesterday regarding some things in the CPI that I find that are totally ridiculous. And these guys actually came up with, a chart of the, housing prices. And they're saying if you look at there's no such thing really as housing prices in the CPI, maybe, because it's an asset. And the CPI picks up on things you have to buy, basically. So it's not really, it's not really something that they look at, even though they should, because it's obviously the biggest part of somebody's stuff. So what they dig into something called, owner's equivalent rent or shelter. So all items, it'll say shelter here. And they're going back to September of 2020 to March 2021. And it says unadjusted 12 month ending March 2021, which is the numbers we just got, right? And they've got the shelter for people is up 1.7%. Yet everybody knows the price of houses is up 16.2. So, you know, this is yet another number that, is bizarre in this thing. Now, I don't know how you average it, but I mean, I have to believe that I'm not so sure how we would do this if you and I were in charge of this. Clearly, the price of houses where Audrey is, and in nice areas in the city where I think you guys just bought, city, I'm not so sure, they're probably steady or something, but some areas the prices are going up. I mean, if you can get a nice place in a suburb that people can work from home in and so forth, I'm thinking those prices are going up. Now I gotta believe that a condo in Lake Point Tower, but they went to rentals. Really, how happy do you think that guy is with that purchase? Where they bought everybody out of their condos and went rental? You think the people who got the money for the condos are the happy ones there or what? But what's the one where Marshall Fields used to be? Macy's, and they just got out of there. The big place on Michigan Avenue. Tell the name of that place. Condos in there. I mean, I got to believe those aren't going up. They got to be going down. I just wonder if you look at the ones that are in the city like Chicago, if the average price is really going up. You know, we're looking at the ones that are closing, but what do you suppose, what's the name of that place? Water Tower Place. Those can't be going up, can they?
I don't know. I think from what I've read, so I can tell you that the neighborhoods we were looking at, places were on the market for about 2.5 days on average. They're just gone. It's such a seller's market. It's unbelievable. And which is unfortunate, but the prices, I don't think were out of line with, what we expected. They weren't like crazy. I mean, we never looked at places where we were like, wow, that's way overpriced. However, if you didn't have certain things, like if you didn't have outdoor space, if you didn't have, whatever, or if you weren't in certain neighborhoods, then, those places were sitting there and no one wanted them.
I mean, absolutely no one wanted them.
And they were dropping in price.
Yeah.
So you had to check all the boxes of what people want, which certainly outdoor space was a big one. Certainly space to have a home office, that type of thing with today's climate of working from home, for the foreseeable future, or at least, part time working from home. And then outdoor space where you can sit outside and get some fresh air was huge. And those places were literally
That's
gone.
That's like number one, though.
Yeah, those places were gone in 2 days. And and you basically, like, they weren't making it to the rental websites. They went to the realtors list, and they sent out to the people that were on the realtors list, and you did your, if you saw a place and you looked at the pictures and you looked at the price and you looked at the neighborhood and you looked at the amenities and they checked all your boxes, you scheduled a showing that day, and if you waited a day, it was gone. That was our experience.
No, that's what Audrey's running into in the suburbs.
And that's in the city. And there was, you know, no.
Well, in a few areas of the city where you guys were.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're looking in, you know, nice neighborhoods, obviously, or, you know, and we're looking at, not the highest end of places, but not the lowest end either.
Yeah, but I would say that there was a time when North Michigan Avenue was a hot spot.
Well, no one, I mean, I won't say no one, but, you know, we certainly didn't have any interest in living downtown. I mean, I actually have never had any interest living downtown. I know you did for a long time.
Well, I lived at,
but I've never had any interest
in living
downtown.
I lived at Clark
downtown.
And Huron, which...
I consider that downtown.
But when I lived there, it kind of wasn't downtown. There were no parking meters in front of the place when I lived there. So, I mean, it was down, but I mean, it was the same as where we live now. You know, it wasn't that egregious. People came over to actually get parked in front of the place, which can't happen now, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was, downtown, when I was 25, downtown meant Clark and Division in two blocks. It was the only place that anybody would let their daughter live, you know, right near the L stop and right near the Busto Hair.
Yeah, but if you're at Clark and Huron, I mean, you're in a high rise.
Yeah, but
you're not like in a walk up.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's downtown.
But there were some walk-ups here before.
Really?
There were a lot of them. Now they're all down for more high-rises.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Clark and Huron is all, like, at least, what, 20-story buildings?
Oh, yeah, well, but across the street wasn't. It was 3-story buildings, and then they all went down. And then
they were replaced by...
High-story, yeah. High-rises. But, I mean, I just...
Well, my point is, I've never had any interest in living downtown, and then, you know, we certainly weren't looking downtown... Because you typically don't have an outdoor space, you typically don't have parking. You know, it's a different style of living that maybe when you're 25 is something that you're interested in. But we had no interest in that. But take us out of the equation. Just in general, I have a feeling that the pandemic has caused a lot of people to want to leave the downtown area because, first of all, nothing's open.
Yeah.
There's no bars and restaurants. There's nothing to do. It's not like the normal downtown Chicago that's vibrant and, you know,
right,
a lot of stuff going on. And that will come back. The question is when.
Maybe.
You know, it will. I mean, it won't be necessarily the same people owning it, so I'm not happy about that. But it's not going to – I don't think it's going to turn into, you know, some wasteland. But it certainly isn't there right now, and the idea that you have no space, you got to share elevators with thousands of people, that's not very attractive right now.
No, I think what you might end up with is I would say one thing. When I didn't buy at that place at 70 West Huron, at the time the Smart Buy, which I didn't like the management, so I was pissed off, so I didn't buy something. But they had Billy had his pluses and minuses, but one of the pluses was, even the studios were reasonable size and had a full kitchen, not a studio kitchen.
Yeah.
And had a balcony.
That is nice.
So I'm going to say that if I would have been using my noodle, I would have bought the cheapest studio with a double parking place. And I'd have made out like a bandit. And I'll bet you that somebody who eventually, when, like you say, people start coming to work downtown, even people from them, some of my buddies from the Fed, they're looking for places that they can still live in, you know, where Kevin lives in Michigan, yet Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, they can stay downtown if they have to be here. So that studio would have been perfect for that.
Right.
Rent it to somebody. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if somebody's high rises within two blocks of where we are right now, the world's smallest apartment, somebody doesn't buy. Because a lot of these guys now are piling into like the Union League or someplace and staying two nights there. Two nights where they're here. You know, so there's going to be that combo kind of working to where you're not bringing SP Futures up 450, NASDAQ Futures up 36. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now. Well, don't take Stacks and Jacks. I just gave poor Matty Weber a shock here. I don't know how he's going to recover. His favorite team, the owner, is the chairman of the double secret Republican group at Mar-a-Lago. Matty's having a grabber over there. We'll try and bring him back. We'll get the paddles. We'll take care of him. S&P futures up 4. S&P futures up 38.
Well, the Ricketts have not only ruined a neighborhood, but they've completely, I mean, as great as it was winning in 2016, and I'm very grateful for that, they've run the organization into the ground to the point where they can't even retain any of their players. They sign Yu Darvish and immediately have to get rid of him because they can't afford to pay him. I mean, what a joke.
Yeah, who'd have thought that the South Side would rise again, eh?
Yeah.
They could find somebody over there that could catch. Good thing you got better defense on your softball team than those guys do.
Yes.
over in Asia, we've got Nikkei down 130, it's 0.4%. Shanghai up 20.6%. Hang Seng up 403, that's 1.5%. These guys have been all over the block, not even. Goldman Sachs reporting record results. They topped the street amid booming investment banking. I'm going to say, Manny, that's driven by the business they do with the government, and it pisses me off to beat the band, and I don't know what I can do about it. Nothing. Sit here and stew about it, I guess. DAX down 15, call that flat. FTSE up 15, that's 0.2%. Kick around up 25.4%, so slow over in Europe. Bonds, with not much of a move here, 1.63. Again, the CPI numbers came out yesterday relatively hot at 0.6%, but the hype was that the estimate of 0.5, that people were all worried about like a 1% number. Well, they didn't get that, so evidently 0.6 is okay. One minus 0.29, Japan positive 0.09. Oil up 90 cents, over 61 today. We were just pushing 2 days ago to get above 60, now we're 61.08. Brent up 98 cents, 64.65. Natural gas up 2 cents, 264. RBOB unchanged at 198. We've got gold down 450 to 1743, or up yesterday. Silver, 25.39, it's only down 3 cents in a big move yesterday. Copper up 5 cents, 408, as the inflation certainly is in the copper area. And we've got crypto, Bitcoin up 1,500 to 64,367, which has got to be another record. Ethereum, which is also flying up there, up $92, 23.79, as his Coinbase listing comes out today. I wish we could find a way to short that thing, but thank God there isn't a way, because I'd probably short it and get my ass kicked. What do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports, Matty?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a decent start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Actually, better than decent. looking very good right now on the Edens and Kennedy. No issues to report. Same for the Eisenhower. Traffic starting to build on the Stevenson, but no accidents or delays. Southside expressways all quiet. Same for Lakeshore Drive in both directions. And the suburban tollways are quiet, too. Off the expressways, a couple of issues up in the northern suburbs. Butterfield Road at Route 176, there is a crash. And that's it. That's the only crash in the area. So enjoy a nice, quiet commute if you're
heading
into downtown.
Wait a minute. We saw a crash this morning. What about that one?
That's true. It must be clear. There was a crash right off of the expressway on Division there. And apparently that's all clear now. So off to a good start this morning. Weather today, lots of sunshine. Cold temperatures, certainly cooler than it's been the last several days and well below normal, as we'll reach a high of just 51. And it'll feel colder than that. It's going to feel like it's in the 40s, but it'll be sunny. Right now it's clear and 39 going up to a sunny high of 51. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 87 today. Right now it's clear and 64. In sports, the Cubs were looking like it was going to be another dreadful one-run performance for fourth game in a row. But
at least they were going against a good pitcher last night.
That's true. But Wilson Contreras came up in the top of the eighth inning and belted a two-run homer to leapfrog the Brewers and take a 3-2 lead, which the bullpen held on to. And the Cubs snapped their losing streak, beating Milwaukee up in Wisconsin 3-2 last night. White Sox were in a 0-0 pitcher's duel last night before giving up two in the 10th as they fell to Cleveland 2-0. Diamondbacks lost to the A's 7-5. And NBA basketball, Bulls were off last night, but the Suns were in action, and they blew out the Miami Heat 106-86. Chief.
Here's a headline before we go back to Nettie's buddies at the meeting down there and how he's pissed off. I think that's where Kevin and Russell and everybody is.
Down in Mar-a-Lago.
Is that the meeting that they used to have in the Redwood trees? What was that, the Sierra Club or whatever?
Good question.
The one picture with Tricky Dick and Reagan all in their flannel shirts and Rumsfeld and all those guys all lined up in a row back in God knows what year that was. All out there in the log cabin under the Redwood trees.
And they probably didn't invite Cheney or they would have got shot.
Yeah. God. So this Grab, what do these guys Grab do?
I don't know Grab.
Now, is this 1999-ish? I wonder if I can ask you. You were too young, but
Grab, 1999, I was only 16.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're nothing but trouble for your poor mom. Grab on Tuesday announced it will go public through a SPAC merger. Now, just listen to this, what I'm saying here. I'm reading this word for word out of, why did I sign me to this? Sahila Roy Chowdhury. I don't know what kind of name that is. She wrote this article, and it's a nice article, so I'm not giving her grief.
What's the title so I can tweet it out?
Grab, not yet profitable, but investors may give it leeway to invest in new growth areas, analysts say. In other words, you and I can't make a whole lot of money on a podcast, but they're going to give us $40 billion thinking we can find something to buy that we can, essentially.
Okay.
Grab on Tuesday announced it will go public. I can't believe this. Somebody wrote these headlines. Announced it will go public through a SPAC merger with Altimeter Growth Corp, whoever that is, in a deal that will value the ride-hailing company at $39.6 billion. I mean, we're not talking, chump change here. The company as a whole is still not profitable. It lost $800 million in 2020 and projected a $600 million loss for this year, according to a regulatory price. It's real dough. But the market is likely to give the company some leeway to invest in new products and categories, according to D.A. Davidson analyst Tom White. In other words, if we give them enough money, eventually they'll find a way to make the pasta stick on the wall. They'll buy some place that makes money.
I have a question for you on this when you're done.
I'm done.
Okay. Is this a new phenomenon? And when I say new, call it the last 20 years, where companies don't seem to care about making money?
From time to time.
Because I still don't quite get that.
Well, that was all 99. That was all the dot bomb. It was all clicks. It was all your website, but it was all clicks.
I mean, can you operate a company, for call it a 20-year period and have, growth as far as employees are concerned and as far as revenue is concerned, and maybe you expand and open up new offices or second location or whatever, and you put out new suites of products. Can you do that for a sustained period of time and never actually make profit?
Well, I'm going to be as...
Because I don't get that.
I'm going to be as blunt as I can here. If you and I and your lovely bride, well, we better take some of her money because she's the one who's got it all. If we put, say, $2 million in a pot, which I don't think we could, but if we did, we put $2 million in a pot, you just answered your own question. When the $2 million's gone, we're done.
Right.
But if we somehow have the gift of BS, if we brought somebody with us that was able to raise $100 million this year and $200 million next year and $400 million the next, and every time we screw up, we have somebody who was willing to give us more and more money because we won't screw up a second time. We can piss it away till somebody stops giving it to us.
So that makes sense. So you're saying that for whatever reason they're able to, for you know however long, to continue to raise money because someone believes in
yes.
this idea that they're going to turn the corner here at some point in the near future and they're going to get a return on their investment.
Well, Tesla's got to be incredibly cash negative since day one from what they originally started with.
Right.
Yet every time the guys want to go out for more money, they get more money.
Like, I totally get the idea that, you know, call it 5 years that where you need some time to build something, and if you have a good idea and you get investments, that if you're in the negative for, like I said, 3 years, 5 years, until, you know, you're able to sort of get off the ground and then you start, you know, getting into the black. I totally get that. That makes sense to me. But it seems like companies now have no interest in making profit.
Well, it goes back to when I was way younger than you. Of course, it was an ethnic slur, which I'll keep out of it. It was the, it wasn't black people, it was the Eastern Europeans. The Eastern Europeans in the Christmas trees. Or say, hey Joe, you bought all these Christmas trees for $5 and you brought them here and sold them for $4. Like, how the hell does that work? That's all right. Next time we'll bring 2 trucks. So, I mean, that's, at some point it gets to that level where you say, you're buying something for $10 and you're selling it for $8. What are you doing? That's all right. We'll make it up on the volume. You know, I mean, that's when interest rates are, I mean, you've heard, people, you know, that are on TV all the time, doesn't make them dumb or smart. But Sheila Bair was the head of the FDIC, and I think she's pretty bright. She comes on CNBC a lot. She goes, all the stuff you're seeing is the inevitable outcome of 12 years of essentially free money. People don't even look at it like that. They don't look at it and say, why should I give these bumps $600 million in the hopes that they find some place they can make some dough when I could put it in the bank and make 5%. I'm out of my mind to give it to these guys. But since everything is free and more is available, and some people seem to be getting it like for next to nothing, you know, banks and whatever, because, you know, you still have negative interest rates on people's deposits and you charge them for this and that. The money is just, if you're at one level here, the dough is free. I mean, what was the Tom Brady rookie card? I mean, for whatever reason, the people you and I know that are seeing the inflation happening in front of their eyes and haven't gotten a raise in, you know, 10 years or a very small one, money to them, what do they say in The Natural? You come by it hard, right? But yet other people don't seem like they're coming by it hard. I mean, if all of a sudden you happen to have a whole bunch of dough and, you know, your parents gave it to you because the bank throws a whole bunch of money at Bitcoin, and all of a sudden 5 years later it's up 1,000%. You have no idea what money is even worth compared to the other guy, right? It's so different.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. I think that makes sense. And maybe it really does come down to the interest rates.
Well, it's a whole attitude that if you're in the flow, I mean, what do you think the people who were the major benefactors of these PPP and employee? I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said they own a restaurant, and somehow or another they didn't qualify for the second PPP. I said, well, go get the Employee Retention Act money. What's that? I said, well, it's another part that if you don't look close, it hasn't been in the news, it's like right there. I mean, it's, you know, somebody who, like the people, you know, I won't name the suburb, the people who got the $200,000 in the PPP loan, they don't have to be replaced, and they own a garbage truck company that did municipal work, and they never missed a day ever. They just got a $200,000 check. Well, I'm going to say that mentally, whoever owns that company is probably, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm going to say that if he goes out and buys a new pick-me-up for him, you know, because, I mean, if you own a refuse company, you're probably driving a pickup truck. I'm going to say that pickup truck is going to have a few more options than it might have had otherwise. And I'm going to say he buys it a year sooner than the other one would have worn out otherwise. Right? Because money is a little easier for him than it was 6 months ago. He basically got a check for $200,000 for nothing. And doesn't have to pay it back. And I mean, and he didn't lose any business whatsoever. So for him, it's like somebody walking up and saying, here's the envelope. Now other people actually did pay employees that weren't working. So they don't really have the money anymore. They went to employees. Now those employees, they got the money, but they didn't work. But they also, they didn't double up either, right? They still got a mortgage to pay. They still have electric bills to pay.
So, they broke even at best, and that was a very short-term break even.
Right. So as you look through the details on all this stuff, that's why, you know, I can't shirk my education. Every report you hear, every interview you hear, everything you say, that's why I was basically railing against the guy from, you know, Coca-Cola. Why didn't he actually write an article saying these are the things in the bill he didn't like and why? Because who knows? Maybe is his goal to make money, or is his goal to get him to change the bill? Seems to me like his goal is to make money. Now, really, if you're an American, if you see something wrong, your goal is to change it so it's right. Correct?
Well, ideally, yeah.
Well, you and I are supposed to think that way. He's not, because he's the chairman of a company.
No, I think everyone should think that way, but I'm realistic and know that not everyone does.
And if you and I thought that way, we wouldn't get that job, you know, type of thing. But what I'm saying is, every time you look at people's analysis of something, I look at it, it's an F paper. I mean, how many buffoons, and I'll use that term, in the last 24 hours, because right about now is when the Johnson News came out and the Spoos dropped 20 points, how many buffoons are experts on whether this particular thing should be taken off the market and looked at? Everybody's an expert. Nobody knows anything what they're talking about. I mean, I will opine on stuff like this, because then people say, wait a minute, Chief, you're talking all the time. I will opine on stuff like that, but I'll outline the part that I don't know. All right, I'm going to say, I don't know how many people got this blood clot. I don't know how treatable it is. They claim it's treatable easily in this country, but I also know that the Janssen vaccine is one they're trying to give third world places because it's more easily transportable and you only got to give one shot instead of two. Is the drug to treat the blood clots readily available in Sudan, you know, or someplace? Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to guess maybe not, but I don't know. Now, are we talking about lightening up on people that are over 60 or 65, which have a tremendous chance of serious illness or even death with COVID, and to the point where three out of 10 are going to die from it if we don't give them a vaccine, and the vaccine is going to affect 1 in 10,000, I say shoot away. But if somebody's 15 and there hasn't been anybody 15 that's died in 6 weeks, maybe we should hold off. I mean, all I do is think of questions, Manny, versus everybody else has got all the answers. And their answers always are they an investor in Johnson & Johnson, or this or that? It's always driven by their pocketbook. But most scientific questions aren't really driven by how many Benjamins you got in your wallet. I mean, what is the answer here? The answer probably is, in high-risk areas, we keep giving it, and in low-risk areas, we hold off. That would be my initial, but that could be totally wrong too, because I don't know. Yet everybody else is already sure about it. That's why I'm absolutely, I mean, I have to talk to Jeff. I have to become an expert on extraterrestrial life. If I get certified by his magazine, once I'm certified, who's going to say I don't know anything?
That's true.
I mean, if all of a sudden the saucer lands, if I'm the only guy certified to talk on this subject by somebody, whoever the somebody is, Jeff, how much money can I command per hour as the only expert on extraterrestrial life? And if they say, who'd you ever know extraterrestrial, I'll just show them Thomas's picture.
Are you saying he looks like Alf?
I'm just saying we could doctor it up a little bit. Some of the guys on our softball team look a little odd. What can I tell you?
Most.
Some of the girls we played with, though, they look pretty good. So I don't know. I don't think I could use them.
Yeah. Speaking of softball, my team, Cream Corn, had our first game last night and won in walk-off fashion, which is always fun. And we played great defense the whole game, pitched well enough, but couldn't hit. Couldn't string two hits together the entire game. We're down 4-1, completely lifeless on offense, heading into the bottom of the seventh.
What did you guys say, dead from the neck up ball club?
Well, it wasn't mental mistakes. We just couldn't hit the ball. It was guys were hit. Even when we hit a line drive, it was right at somebody. Not that we hit a ton of line drives, but when we did, it was right at somebody. We tested the left fielder. He caught everything. We tested the center fielder. He caught everything. We tested the shortstop, the short center, the second baseman. They fielded everything. And we just couldn't place the ball. And then all of a sudden in the seventh, we had a swinging bunt hit. And then that seemed to open the floodgates. And all of a sudden everyone's finding gaps. And we score four runs. While getting only one out and walk it off, and it was great. I feel like we would have scored 15 runs in that inning if they would have kept playing.
You guys were bottom of the seventh?
Yeah, we were home, and we walked it off in the bottom of the seventh, 1-5-4.
Are the lights any better this year?
Yeah, because we're playing on a different field, and it's like, talk about night and day. It's not that Park District field where you get one light per field and half the field's in a shadow is not great, especially as you're getting older.
Yeah.
It might be fine when you're 23, but when everyone's in their late 30s, not that that's old, but let's just say the fly balls in the outfield were an adventure last year.
We used to go up to Kennedy Park when we were like 15 and play till the light. They turned the lights out, but they weren't baseball lights. They were just lights for the park. But at that age, that was good enough, right?
Exactly.
But here's one. Who said this? My eyes grow dim with age.
I don't know.
Ben Franklin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I've heard that before.
So it's not like it's a newbie. Anyway, I'm looking here. I can't let you off this. Your buddies, the Mar-a-Lago people, guess who is the chairman, I believe, is Todd Ricketts.
Who is the governor of Nebraska, right?
Well, this isn't our Todd Ricketts. This is okay.
Ours is Tom.
All right. This is a longtime GOP donor who was also the RNC finance chair, is being floated as a potential investor. What they're trying to do is they're trying to put together their own, what would you call Twitter and Facebook, their own social media site that's nicer to conservatives.
Okay,
And it's a strategy. And
yeah, Todd is not the governor of Nebraska. He is the chair of the Republican National Committee.
Yeah, I don't think he can
whatever
do
whatever the hell that is.
Well, it's
who's the isn't it a different Ricketts the governor of Nebraska?
I thought he was the governor of Iowa or someplace.
No, they're all Omaha based. Pete Ricketts is the governor of Nebraska.
Okay, I was digging through. Pritzker, and if I'm wrong on this, I certainly apologize. I thought that his sister was the one that was he floated all that money to try and get the that amendment passed, right, for the graduated income tax.
Yep.
And I thought his sister was the one who was against him the whole way. The only sister he's got is Penny. She wasn't the one who did that. Was it a cousin? Somebody in the family.
I don't know that story, but it certainly wasn't Penny.
No, I thought he had another sister. Apparently, he doesn't.
So the Ricketts family. I mean, you got the old man who was the founder of TD Ameritrade, yeah, and he's the billionaire, right?
He's the guy who went to school uphill and against the wind both ways every day.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And but he at least built that himself, right? It wasn't like
he built it at a time when.
Well, get lucky. Yes. I get it, but he at least built a company.
No, I didn't say he was lucky, and he
well, you were about to.
No, what I said was. Go ahead. No, he definitely.
Well, my point is that so he's got all these kids, and I mean, obviously, talk about Silver Spoon group here. But anyway, they've all gone on to do stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Well, Daddy bought them the Cubs, so they get to play around with that. So they're all like they're all quote unquote co-owners of the Cubs. So that was nice of him. But Pete's a governor, so he's one of them. Todd's the chairman of the Republican National Committee. And then Tom is our guy, who is the chairman of the Cubs. But they're all co-owners of the Cubs.
Isn't it interesting how people who
must be nice to have a billionaire dad that lets you do all these things.
Well, how do you think Pritzker got where he got?
Same exact thing. Yeah.
How do you think Geithner got the chairman's job?
Yeah.
And what did Munchkin, I couldn't believe, I was reading this huge thing about Trump, and that he was a Goldman guy, and then he went off to another, whatever you want to call him, I wouldn't say think tank, but a hedge fund or something. And they gave, they floated Trump a big loan at some point. So the guy ends up as chairman, secretary of the treasury. I mean, do regular Americans just not see this, or they don't care, or they don't? I think they just don't know what they can do about it. They try to ignore it.
Well, I'm in that camp. I know I it's not that I don't know what I can do about it. I know I can't do anything about it. And so, just for my own mental health, I just don't worry about it. I keep my head down. I mean, everything that's going on in the world, everyone is outraged. Some of it rightfully so. Some of it, you know, calm down. But I can't do anything about it. So am I going to live in rage every single day, or do I just worry about what I can control?
Well, that's why sports.
And that's what I've made the decision several years ago, and I can tell you what, it's been very enjoyable.
I would say that's one of the beautiful things about sports, is when you're on the mound, all you care about is getting people out.
Yep.
And or when the ball's coming at you, I just want to catch it before it hits me.
Or if you're up to bat, you try to execute whatever plan you're working on. It's a great thing.
In my experience, you know, I've never been like a deep sea diver in the middle of a bunch of sharks or anything. I think I'm out on that. My experience of the sport that absolutely focuses the brain and you will not think about work is skiing. Because all you care about is getting down the thing with your legs in one piece and trying to dodge the trees. I mean,
well, all I cared about was the chicks in the ski lodge.
Yeah.
When I was skiing, my idea of skiing was, let's get this out of the way so we can get to the bar.
Well, it's fortunately, you know, I was young and the bladder was good, because if it wasn't, I absolutely would have peed my pants one day. I was laughing so hard. Dr. J, who was a spectacular skier. I mean, he used to be a racer when he was in. And we used to go skiing, and nothing is more fun than going skiing with John. So we're in Jackson, and we're skiing this really hard stuff, and I'm wiping out once in a while. Of course, John's not. So all of a sudden, we get to this kind of flat area, and here's this ski instructor with, like, you know, four little kids she's teaching. And I mean, Manny, you don't normally, there's a lot of good-looking people around, men and women. She was special. I'm just saying, very, very special. And it was warm enough where she didn't have the head on, the long hair, the whole, everything's gone, right? So John, it's a totally flat area. He's skiing along. All of a sudden, he rubbernecks back to check this girl out.
Oh,
right?
God.
And all of a sudden, down he goes. It was the most incredible. You ever see what they call a five-star landing?
I don't know.
Well, it's when you land where your poles leave your body and they're out at their direction, both skis left at their direction, and your hat and goggles go forward. they call it a. And plus, if you're at a really flat spot and it's icy, it's trouble getting up. Jack's a great athlete.
God. So it takes you 15 minutes to gather all your gear.
Yeah, I am dying. and she's, you know, once I knew he wasn't hurt, I was dying. If he was hurt, obviously, I would have been laughing. But so he's trying to scramble up, and she's pointing at him, showing the kids about how you should be paying attention when you're skiing. And I absolutely am dying. And the more she kept pointing at him, the more I kept looking at her. It was a beautiful scene. It was just a beautiful scene. And the closer I got, the more special she was. I'm thinking, I got to call her and take some kind of lesson type of thing.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But it's not just the males that do this. Audrey, we used to go skiing. She and John's girlfriend, they would head down to the place, and they'd find the best-looking ski instructor and have a lesson for a day.
There you go.
So it's not just the guys that act like this. It's like, she goes, oh, you know, Sven was terrific. Who the hell's Sven? My ski instructor. Okay. SP Futures up 5. SP Futures up 49. Be right back.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again. Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now. Right
here, right now, right now. There's something happening here.
Hello, North Bay Stocks Jacks. I'm Tom Howley, just brought Weber on the board. SP Futures up 5. We have phone issues again. SP Futures up 46. Ever since AT&T decided to basically get out of the phone business, but they won't sell it to somebody else. They just make it miserable for you. Do we ever have anybody that's going to look back and say, what are we doing here? These are the same guys who were charging $600 for our... What are these to call those lines, Manny? Not the ISDN, the ones we use for the TELUS machine. What was the name of that thing?
I thought it was the ISDN.
The ISDN, I thought, is the...
The ISDN was the TELUS machine.
That's right there. DSL is the one we have.
Yeah.
The ISDN, that was $600 to go to the alley because they didn't want us to use it anymore, but they wouldn't sell it to somebody else. They were just going to price us out of existence till we said, thank you, sir, I've had enough, and left, type of thing, which we did.
Yeah. Talk about a machine that worked perfectly every time and still does.
But we can't use it. Yeah. We don't want... Why would... So, Russell, this is interesting. What Russell just sent us, because he can't call in, he's talking about a SPAC. He says, with the... I'll just read it, but of course begs a question that maybe if he's listening, he will send in the answer. With the structure of a SPAC, you and I could do this. Raise $100 million for a future investment. That he'd have to be part of that we, because I'm not so sure I could raise $100 million just out of the gate. Could you, maybe? Let's say we
no.
did. Raise $100 million for a future investment. Investors have a put where they can get their original investment back if they don't like what we choose to invest in. So obviously you have to notify people, which may kind of make it tough to make a deal, but that's my question. We put the $100 million in a one-year CD. Rate right now is 0.65%. Boy, that's a real number. We picked the worst investment ever a year later when everyone asked for their money back, and we pocket the $650,000 interest and send everybody their cash back. That's interesting. So it would seem that we would have to pick something and send everybody. There's probably a trigger number where if 20 million people wanted to give their money back, you got to give everybody their money back. So that's an interesting way to do this. Meanwhile, the $100 million sits in a bank. Wow. The You know, the weird part is there's nothing in it, and there's nothing new, which is all same old ways to screw everybody, right? One of our guys calls in, writes in. I don't want to go into this and how why anybody would do this every day, but I look at the price every week. If this is the price of corn, a can of corn, isn't that
it's a baseball term?
Yeah. No. What was the where did that come from, eh?
The story that I've always heard was it was a grocery store term that you would knock the can of corn off the top of the shelf and catch it straight down for someone.
Yes.
And so they called it a can of corn because it was easy, fell right into your hands, and that turned into the baseball term. If it's a easy pop fly that you're camped under, it's a can of corn.
Did you ever in your Ute in Iowa? Did you ever have stores like that where the stuff was just piled up high and they had more per square foot in those stores than any of the new stuff does? Yeah, new stores.
I remember a lot of hardware stores always being like that. Not grocery stores though, but yeah, like hardware stores. And probably they still are. Talk about getting a ton of stuff into a small area. Piled high. Like, if you want something on a top shelf, you got to get a ladder.
Yeah, but you're also pushing 6'5". What if you're the 5'1 lady reaching for the same can? You have no problem.
Well, that's true.
Anyway, he looks at the price every week because I ate a can of corn almost every day, either in a salad or a casserole or a side vegetable, more than we need to know. During the past 10 years, the price has fluctuated between 50 cents and $1. Today, the price was $2. It's official. Inflation is here. I don't think anybody is denying that.
Yeah.
Except our people. Now,
except our leadership.
But it's transitory, Manny.
Well, that's good to know.
Now, does that mean we still haven't found anybody who's going to tell us whether that means it goes back to 50 cents or the new price is $2, and now we go from there? Just saying. So, yeah, this is what's happening, but I don't sense, you know, it's funny, people will bitch. Obviously, the people that went down to Florida and Mar-a-Lago, they get to play golf, or did Trump charge them for golf?
Oh, I'm sure they get charged for everything.
Yeah. Evidently, did they say he could live there now? I thought somebody told me that. For a while, he couldn't, right?
Yeah, I don't know the details on that.
Well, the details, not that I'm a club guy. But when they decided to let him make that into a club rather than a private residence, or whatever the hell it was before, it was donated by, was it the Ketchup people? Somebody. It was donated to the government as like a second Camp David. But was it Nixon that didn't like it? So it just was never used, and finally Trump bought it from the government for it, like pennies on a dollar? Something like that?
That sounds right, yeah. Like I said, I don't know the history, but that sounds right.
Because there's a huge mansion down there. I mean, there's like a 25, 30-room place that he lives in that they somehow made into this, well, they must have added on and made it into this club. And, of course, he threatened some people around there that he was going to build high-rise so they couldn't see the ocean. So they let him do something, the golf course or whatever. I mean, he did his usual Trump stuff. But now, it's quite a place. And I don't know if people still go down there and use it because he's there with all the Secret Service. I mean, probably more of a pain in the ass than you'd want to. But anyway, they had this thing going down there. What do you think they're going to try and do versus the Facebook and Twitter? You think there's a... first of all, do you honestly believe that there's that much censorship in those? What is the state of that? I don't even know. I mean, everything that you send through, is everything you tweet now censored or run through something?
It's a good question. There's some interesting things that I've noticed, and I'm not super. First of all, I don't have a Facebook, so I don't know anything about Facebook. I haven't had one in I don't know, 2 years.
Do we still have ours. We just never look at it.
We do, but we never look at it.
So I'm stuck on 3,000 friends that I never met.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, Twitter, there's one thing I noticed the other day. I have a Twitter. I am not very active on it. I don't think I've tweeted in, I don't know, quite a while. But I still scroll through stuff because I kind of use it as a news feed. So I'm still somewhat on there. And one thing I noticed was if someone sends you an article and, you know, you read the headline and you automatically, you know, retweet it, or maybe it's an article you've already read and you comment on it or something like that, but you don't actually open the article and, you know, view it, they will send you a message, like a pop-up comes up and says, are you sure you want to tweet this or comment on this without actually reading it? Which I found to be very interesting. So if you don't actually click on that article and open it, you can still retweet it, but now instead of just retweeting it or commenting on it or liking it or whatever, a pop-up will come up and say, are you sure you want to retweet this? Because you didn't actually read this article, and do you really want to spread this out around without actually reading it? Which I find very interesting.
We can't seriously be going to require people to actually know something about something before they open their mouth about it, are we?
That seems to be the... Now, they don't stop you from retweeting it, but they do send you this little pop-up, which kind of makes you feel stupid if you were about to retweet something and you didn't actually read it. So I kind of liked it. So I noticed that. That was a change. Other than that, so they have basically... They flag, apparently, certain articles that they deem to be spreading inaccurate information or flat-out lies. And
how do you let a politician use it?
Well, good, exactly. But basically, if you participate in spreading that article, you will get either there will be a warning attached to that article that says, you know, we believe this to be, you know, false or inaccurate or whatever. And then if you continually spread stuff like that, then they can suspend your account or completely, you know, kick you off Twitter like they did with Trump, because he ignored the hundreds of warnings that he got, and then finally they just turned off his account.
What was the original one? Was it Who Will Guard the Guards, or was it Who Will Watch the Watchers? Which was the first one? One was Plato, one was Shakespeare. I'm sort of curious. I mean, I will say this categorically to all my liberal friends, which, you know, I guess I'm probably still maybe a little leaner that way. Our current man in charge, Joe Biden, has got the Read My Lips, just like George Bush won. No one will get a tax increase who's making less than $400,000 a year. I'm going to say that every nickel I have, I will put in a pot and say, bullcrap. It's at the end of the day, somebody making under $400,000 is going to pay more when he's done. And I will absolutely be convinced that it's a flat-out lie. Now, what does that mean? He can never... Now, who gets to judge that that's...
Well, hold on a sec. So, again, I've been completely out of the loop on politics for the last several years now, on purpose, and enjoying my life much more because of it. So I didn't hear him actually say that, but I'll take your word for it. What do you think he's lying about? What are they going to raise on you?
It'll be a gas tax. It'll be Social Security. Well, something.
So you're saying that there will be an increase in federal taxes
of some kind for somebody who makes less than $400,000 a year.
Okay, in the next 4 years.
By the next 6 months, probably when they're done with this bill. I don't think it'll make it 90 days.
So I am asking because I don't know. Does the federal government control gas taxes? I thought that was state.
They have Manny, come on. I got a list in here. I'll show it to you. The federal government is like 12.5 cents. The state's 10.
Okay, so
the county's like 6, and the city's like 4.
Okay, I knew the city, county, and state were all over it. I did not know that there was a federal portion.
Yeah, the one on top is that's what pays for the interstate. When you see repairs on like the Dan Ryan, that's part of the interstate highway system. So
okay,
they're going to get 90%. You know, I'm going on a limb here, but I'm going to say 90% of that rebuild is probably the federal government.
So you're tracking this, and you will let me know if there is a federal tax increase to people that make under $400,000.
Yes.
You'll let me know when that happens.
Okay, but I'm saying when has any one of these people ever not said something that a year later is a flat out lie?
No, you're right about that. Yeah, you're right about that.
So who gets to define what are lies and what don't? What aren't?
Well, I think so. It's a good question. I think that when you're talking about Twitter regulating something, they actually will fact check an article. And if there's somebody saying something, giving an opinion on something, or making a statement on something, I think can sort of, you know, I think people can do whatever they want, and you can choose to believe them or not. And it's really impossible to regulate that. What they regulate are actual factual inaccuracies. And facts should be pretty easy to regulate. Something is either happened or didn't happen. And that's, I think, what they flag.
What I'm saying is the first thing is when they talk about censorship, my first question is who gets to censor something?
Well, you know, they're a private company, so I guess they can do whatever they want on their platform.
Well, but that's therein lies the rub, and that's kind of what I'm getting to. I mean, I could run down to the park and put a big poster up there and say, Matt and Jill mistreat Venkman. But I know, in fact, if I croak today, I want to come back as your dog.
Yeah, he's treated better than I am.
He's been treated better than anybody. So okay, it's a flat-ass lie. Now what? But now, do we want to say that I can't do that? I mean, what if you were? I mean, everything you say implies something afterward. I mean, do I want who's the head of? Do I want goatee Jack, who looks like he came out of the Himalayas with the Hare Krishna? What is? Do I want him to be my censor? Do I want who's the Facebook guy?
Zuckerberg.
Do I want Zuckerberg saying, "Don't worry, we have people that are gonna"? I wouldn't have that guy as my dog catcher, let alone my censor.
Well, I agree with you, and that's why you have the choice and the right to use their platform or not use their platform. I mean, they're not your moral authority at all.
Well, except,
nor should they be.
Except that, and this is the part that we always are talking about, and there's no answer to it. Okay, if we spin back to when it might have been BW before Webby, when there were two news stations in Chicago. We had 670 and we had 780. When we had four newspapers, we had all that stuff going. Nobody really cared much, because if the Tribune said something outrageous in the morning that was wrong, two newspapers were on it like white on rice in the afternoon, saying what a bunch of idiots the people were in the Tribune.
Right, and I agree with you, but Twitter and Facebook are not news organizations.
Well,
they don't publish.
Well,
they don't write and publish
news. That's what I'm getting to. But now I'm trying to find the example that we were looking for. Well, now all of a sudden, to my friends at the Sun-Times, pardon me, there's one newspaper that maybe nobody reads.
Call it one and a half.
Call it one and a half. And we have one news station. We have others that talking stuff, and we have people like us that are trying to do a job. But what right now, for whatever reason, we've let Facebook be Facebook. There's not 20 Facebooks. It's not like you're pissed off at them and you can go somewhere else.
Well, there's Twitter. They're competitors.
Well, I'm saying, but that's another thing. It's slightly enough different to where they're so big, and now we look at it and say, okay, now is one hell of a time to be asking ourselves, what exactly are these people?
Right.
I mean, it's one hell of a time, right? It's like allowing Trump to buy up the entire downtown area and say, gee, are we concerned that he owns 50 of the 51 hotels? Well, now's one hell of a time to ask, you big dummy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're at. I mean,
I agree with you. The only difference that I'll say, again, is that Twitter and Facebook aren't writing any articles.
Okay.
They're just giving you a platform where you can post whatever you want.
All right, so
you can write your own article, you can post it, or you can read someone else's article, you can post it. But they're not writing anything. They're not contributing in any way. But what they found and what people got pissed off at them for and what they had to sit on Capitol Hill with all these hearings about was that they were allowing people to post a ton of false information that was influencing people from elections all the way down. And so they said, you guys need to do something. So they put together some crack, I guess, review board that looks for factual inaccuracies and then flags them.
All right, so I'm going to say that I write into the Tribune. This Matty Weber guy, he shows poor Venkman the expensive dog food, and then while Venkman's not looking, he gives him the crappy stuff.
Which he'd probably like better. Probably tastes better.
Anyway, so I write a letter to the editor. Can the Tribune just print that and say, I didn't write it, this guy Chief wrote it, and We were forced to.
Well, because the Tribune is a publication, so anything that they publish, their name's on it.
Okay, so
whereas Twitter and Facebook have somehow, Twitter and Facebook are like the post that you talked about on the park, where anyone can post anything they want on it.
Except there's nobody name on that board at the park where there's a Twitter name on the post that you put there.
Oh, well, I mean, you could say that I'm saying on that post, it's Chicago Park District.
I'm trying to find the line. You, by the way, you're doing a very good job of telling me.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I see the gray area here, but I also understand that Twitter is not the Washington Post. They don't write news every day. They don't write anything.
But
they literally just gave you a platform to do whatever you want on it. You can make jokes, you can post pictures, you can post naked ladies, you can talk about sports, or you can talk about politics, whatever you want. They don't care. But they got a bunch of pushback because of the last couple of elections and people posting flat-out lies that were influencing stupid people. And so they were basically slapped on the wrist and said, you need to regulate that somehow. So the only way they figured – they didn't want to regulate anything. They wanted people to do whatever they want, but people are so stupid and would read crap on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever and then repost it and retweet it and then vote accordingly based on complete fabrications and lies that they said, well, the least you guys can do is at least flag something and warn people that this is complete garbage.
Right, but if you
– that's what they're doing.
If you and I own the Tribune –
you can still post it.
I know, if you and I own the Tribune – we could say, you know, foolishly, but somebody might believe us, on page 25 every day, we're just going to take a hands-off. If you got something to write political, you got something to write about you don't like your neighbor, or the neighbor got too fat, you don't like her in her bikini anymore, whatever it is, you can post it on this page. We're hands-off. If you're one of the top, if you keep it under 25 words or 50 words, and you put it on there, and all of a sudden that we got room for 100 of these things, and if you're the first 100 it gets in there, all of a sudden, our nerdy accountant runs up to us 2 days later and said, hey, Chief and Maddie, do you realize the ads on that page are selling for four times as much as the ads on... All of a sudden, we make that page four pages long. At what point can we say... can somebody say, hey, wait a minute, you're the idiots that are publishing this. Don't tell me you're not. You're the ones making the money on it. I mean, who's...
Well, yeah, if that were to ever happen, which it won't, then... Then you could compare... Then you could reasonably compare the newspaper to Facebook.
But right now, I'm saying is there appear to be two sets of rules.
But right now, if you send a letter into the Tribune, they're going to have 50 people that read every line. Yeah. They're going to send you back edits and red lines. And then you're going to have to review them and send it back, and there may be three or four back and forths, and then they still might not publish it. Whereas Facebook, I can take a dump on a piece of paper and post it tomorrow, and that's it.
Well, that's
it's
my point.
Completely different.
But they've kind of moved to where they sort of are, in my mind, publishing it the same way. They're the ones making the ads and revenue. They're the ones with Twitter on the top of the page. What's the difference?
Well, I mean, it's a fair question. I think I explained the difference.
Yeah, you explained where the difference
and that
started out to be
right. But I still think it's a huge difference.
Well, but there was a guy, and the reason why I talk about this is that there was a guy who, I forget the name. Dan would remember, but he was a guy who used to give investment advice all the time, and he was renowned because he wrote a newsletter. And he had massive followings, especially in the options area. When John had his DPM, all of a sudden they'd get like 500 orders or people buying five lots and four lots, and they call it the invasion of the cockroaches. You know, they'd have like 2,000 to buy, but there'd be like 400 orders there type of thing. And this guy actually, he was challenged by the SEC as acting as an investment advisor and blah, 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 blah. And he challenged it all the way to the Supreme Court, and he won. As I'm not an investment advisor. I don't help myself out to be one. I'm not a broker. I don't get paid by commissions. I'm just the Second Amendment right? I can publish whatever I want. I can say, I can put out a newspaper tomorrow. You know, Chiefs, I can't because I'm a registered person, but if I wasn't, I could put out, you know, Chiefs, guide to stock. Buy IBM, sell this, sell that, buy this. And guess what? If people buy it, I get to do that, right? Because that's my Second Amendment right, and I'm not registered. I don't get paid commissions. I'm not asking for the order, all that kind of stuff. Well, as time went by, he kept inching, to where you should only take your investment advice from me. You don't even need a broker. Just use the cheapest online broker because I'm the one you should be listening to. Well, now he's still got the Supreme Court decision behind him, right? Which he'll pull out and hand it to you. Stick it on your nose whenever you say something. But by and large, in the meantime, he's sure starting to act like somebody to where it was the newsletter, if you wanted to pay for the newsletter, I'm picking numbers out of my ass, basically, it was $30 a month. And then you might say, hey, Joe, I always get this stuff a little late. Oh, Matt, you got to go with the fax thing. Where we
right,
send
the premium.
The premium. And then Oh, it was we'll send it to you every day. That's $60 a month. Man, I'm still a little late. Well, you know, that news came out yesterday at 2:45. If you'd have been on the 2:45, this is before email, the fax group, you'd have gotten the fax. Now, that's $200 a month. Well, I mean, you're starting to get to the point where I'm the only person you need. And, you know, by the way, you're going to get a thing at 2:30 that's going to specifically tell you to buy the IBM with straight 130, 150 here. I'm going to tell you to buy the Friday 132 calls in IBM. Well, now we're getting like really close to being a broker and investment advisor, light years away from the case he won in the Supreme Court where he just published a newsletter once a month. And yet nobody challenged him. He kept inching, which is what I think these other guys are kind of doing, which makes being a lawmaker or a law enforcer very difficult. But it's clear to me they're pretty damn close to these newspapers, except there aren't any newspapers anymore.
Well, one of the other things I would push back on is they don't charge a dime. Never have, never will.
Okay.
I think that's a big difference.
Well, but Facebook sells your stuff.
Well, they do. I mean, we've learned a lot about what they do with your data and how these big tech companies, whether it's Google or Facebook or Twitter or any of them, they gather your data, they sell your data, they distribute your data, they then sell ads, and then they get targeted based on your data and all of that. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. You totally get that. But the end user doesn't actually pay money to use their site.
So say I was a clever guy and not a Luddite like I am, and I go back 20 years to when we used to go to these shows, and I'm running to these guys. If I were to walk up to, say this was Thomas doing this, we always use poor Thomas's name. If Thomas is doing this, I say, Thomas, you do realize you're pushing the envelope on the Supreme Court case, right? Well, I'm making money. Now, how about if I show you a different way? How about we don't charge these people extra? We still charge them the same $30 a month as if it was the newsletter. But as they go up the chain and getting stuff, we just demand more and more information from these people, and we sell the information to where they're going to be getting phone calls from every broker on earth, from Schwab, from Fidelity, or wherever it is, from Ricketts. And we just sell, if we know the guy's 65 years old, he's going to start getting, you know, ARP ads or something. Suppose we just do it that way, then nobody has a problem with it. What's the difference?
Yeah, it's a fair point.
I mean, I don't really want to be in the position of the politician / legislator / regulator that somebody gets to this point and they say, now you got to do something. It's like handing somebody your 18-year-old kid that you never knew your head after 5 murders and 15 other felonies and say, you got to do something. Well, wait a minute. If I had him when he was 2 or 3 and I could have taught him along the way, maybe he wouldn't be the felon he is now.
Right.
You know, but now I think he's a little far for me to change. I mean, what I have no idea what you do to these people today. Do you?
No. Well, it's like you always say, the nose of the camel under the tent.
Yeah.
It always starts with just the nose. Just want to sniff, and then all of a sudden the whole thing's in there.
Hey, it looks pretty good in there. A little warmer in there. I don't envy the jobs these guys have, and yet they're so. I can't say anything bad about this because I'm a Republican, or I can't say anything bad about that because I'm a Democrat. So even if these guys wanted to do the job right, I mean, how can they? What the hey? Last half hour, I want to talk a little bit about this Coinbase and this, because I'm getting very concerned. That, I mean, for a long time, I thought that, you know, the Bitcoin was, you know, was never a laughing matter. Because if you, I sure wish I'd have bought a few early, but I think the amount of money, let's talk about it after the break. SP Futures up 350, NASDAQ Futures up 42. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities.
Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it is time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. It's Matt Weber on the board. We have S&P futures up 3, NASDAQ futures up 39. Yesterday we were waiting for the CPI number, which ended up being a non-event. The Johnson & Johnson became an event and was not an event. And today we're waiting for the Coinbase. And for those of you who are anxiously awaiting this, we're up to like $250. Heard rumors of like $600 yesterday, but that's not where we're at. We're at $250. I heard 220 yesterday, but now we're looking at that amount. We had earnings last night. We had Goldman Sachs. Said they're making all kinds of money on investment banking, trading for the Fed. They're up $5. Go figure. Dow up 16. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 130.5%. Shanghai up 20.6%. Hang Seng up 403, 1.4%. Now, Hong Kong had been down, so that's a rebound there. But you can track what these guys did the day before. Otherwise, it looks kind of weird every day. DAX down 23.2%. FTSE up 20.3%. CAC around up 24.4%. Bonds, even though the CPI number came out slightly hotter than the 0.5% that came out of 0.6, didn't really, the bonds were actually up on the, I mean, rates were up, bonds were down. Bonds were up, rates were actually the wrong way. You would think they'd be going down. Going up, they were going down. I keep getting the craze because we're going, the thing that has me all messed up, Maddie, is this constant thing with the European stuff being negative. Anyway, we're at 1.63, up a basis points. This is 10-year rate. The Bund, minus 0.29. The Japan, positive 0.09. Oil up back over $61, up 91 cents, 61.09. Brent up 103, 64.70. Natural gas up a penny, 263. RBOB unchanged at 198. We've got gold down $1.90, but silver up 2 cents. Copper up 5 cents back to 408. I think it might have got to 412, so it's pushing toward that high again. Crypto's the stuff where the action is. I can't believe I'm saying it. Bitcoin's up $1,300, 64,262. Ethereum up 102 to 2389 as this Coinbase is coming out today as the listing, and that's going to be interesting. We'll see if that thing pops on the opening. I bet it does. Maddie, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still relatively quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways, although we are seeing things pick up quite a bit, especially on the Kennedy near O'Hare. We have some red on the screen there from some heavy traffic volumes in both directions. And then again, as you approach the circle on the inbound side, some delays. But no accidents to report. Edens looks okay. Eisenhower, traffic building steadily. Same for the Stevenson, but no accidents to report. Down on the south side, there's a crash at 119th and State. It says a crash with injuries. So it looks like a significant crash with crews on the scene at 119th and State. And then west of there, it looks like Vincennes Avenue between 111th and 107th is closed due to broken water main. So the buses are temporarily rerouted in both directions. Keep that in mind down in, where, that's right in Beverly, isn't it?
That's right. No, it's right across the street. That street runs by Morgan Park High School.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I remember driving by on that street many times. One other issue is out west. It looks like I-88 on the inbound side. There was an earlier crash right before Illinois 39. That crash has been cleared, but there's still some significant congestion on the inbound side of I-88 way out west. This is west of Naperville, so between Aurora and Naperville there on I-88. Everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, but much cooler than it's been the last few days. A high of just 51 with a real feel in the 40s. Right now it is clear and 40 degrees downtown, going up to a sunny high of 51. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 87. Right now it's clear and 65. In sports, the Cubs topped the Brewers last night 3-2 on a 8th-inning 2-run homer from Wilson Contreras. White Sox were shut out at home by Cleveland, losing in 10 innings 2-0. Diamondbacks lost to the A's 7-5. NBA basketball, Bulls were off last night, but the Suns were in action. They blew out the Heat 106-86. Chief.
The just as a Chicago piece of history, often wondered, Matty, there is a big Irish cemetery on 111th between Kedzie and Western, where my my Irish side of the family is currently residing. And the first guy checked in it in 1907, right? So a long time ago. And as you go through that cemetery, there's a lot of mausoleums, there's a lot of old headstones, and there's people that basically croaked in the 1890s, and I'm like, how the hell? I mean, it's way south, and these people all lived in, Bridgeport, back of the yards, those kinds of areas, and I was always wondering how the hell, why was the cemetery that far? How did people used to get here, especially back in the day when people would go visit the graves and stuff?
Did they train yet?
There was the Rock Island.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's no way you could. That came from downtown. You didn't go anywhere near, those areas. So that I don't think that was the reason. So I was thinking, and for years it was just kind of a mystery to me because I didn't think the streetcar went down that far. And all of a sudden I was mentioned at the John Flanagan. Of course, John knows more about history than anybody. Makes me look like a kid when it comes to this stuff. And he dug out some old Chicago map that there was a streetcar that went down Halsted. And Halsted, Vincennes is an angled street. It cuts across Halsted roughly around 85th Street. And the streetcar used to swing over onto Vincennes, take Vincennes down to 111th, and then essentially turn right, the tracks would turn right on 111th and go down to Pulaski, or Kedzie, or one of those two streets. And it would essentially, the cemetery was right there. So my grandmother wanted to go visit her husband's grave in 1940 or 1930 or 1920. She could hop on his streetcar and go there and drop her off at the gate of the cemetery. And I never dreamed that there was a streetcar.
Yeah.
That went there because it was probably before the Western streetcar and before anything. But essentially, for Irish people, it served the Irish. Well, there's another cemetery across the street. There's a couple of them there. And the Polish one or the Lithuanian one is further down at Pulaski. So the streetcar essentially served, although I'll tell you what, it's a long walk from Pulaski to St. Casimir's Gate, and then to trying to get in from there into into the, because Marist High School was built on a carve-out from some of the cemetery that was there. So the streetcar essentially served the cemeteries for people who lived back in the yards in those areas. How crazy is that?
That is crazy. When did the city get rid of all the streetcars?
I remember...
Do you remember them?
I remember being on them at a very young age. I'm going to say mid to late 50s. I mean, when I say I was on them, I was like a three-year-old, four-year-old. I can remember them being there.
Yeah.
I do remember riding on the trolley buses, though.
And why did they get rid of all the streetcars and trolley buses?
Well, Chicago had... they never had segregated right away, so their streetcar system was lousy compared to other people's. When I say segregated right away, you know, L.A. and other places, or New Orleans, you'll see that the streetcars have their tracks. Even in San Francisco, they still have one area of streetcars where cars can't go in there. But on Western Avenue, it was just a track down Western, so if a car got stuck in front of you, the streetcar couldn't go anyway. If you're a conspiracy theorist, General Motors financed a study back in the early 50s, late 40s, regarding streetcars versus buses. And the conclusion, of course, that GM paid for, not that they made buses or anything like that, was that streetcars were incredibly inefficient and buses were the way to go. So city after city tore up their streetcars and went with buses. And the interesting part was not so much that Chicago with the smaller streets and so forth, you know, buses might have been a better way to go. But L.A. had by far the best streetcar system damn near in the world. And I think it was all segregated right away. You could get from one end of L.A. to the other very rapidly in the streetcars because they had enough room to where there was a spot for the cars and a spot for the streetcars. And they tore all that up. To this day, I think they're wondering why the hell they did. But if you ever go to Amsterdam, it's interesting. It's segregated because there's just yellow lines. But they all have those little tiny cars in Amsterdam, and the streetcar has a huge rubber bumper in the front. So if some loser decides he wants to get on the streetcar track, some little car, they just go slow and hit it with the rubber bumper and shove him out of the way. It's got this huge rubber thing.
You know, GM actually, they gave some cities some grants to tear up the streetcars.
Yeah, they were.
I know they did it in Memphis.
Yeah, they were totally behind it.
And but that's not a ghost, by the way. That's Russell. We got a phone line open.
Russell, thank you.
And because I'm a longtime listener and sometimes contributor, I've been listening this morning. I was all fired up when you were talking about SPACs, and I could tell Kevin wasn't on, so I did try to call in like during the first hour because myself and another adjunct at Loyola have been doing a lot of work on SPACs, and in fact, and you know, when you do a graduate degree, there's always a final class that's kind of a all-encompassing capstone type class. And the capstone class tonight, we're doing a lecture on SPACs. So, I'm all fired up about that topic.
Can you speak a few minutes? Because I am somewhat ignorant. I have some kind of an idea. How exactly is Coinbase coming public today?
I think they're going public as a normal company,
but not a New York Stock Exchange thing.
No, they're going to be on the Nasdaq, right?
But I mean, it's not going to be an official quote opening where all the guys hanging on the floor waiting for the new price and everything, is it? Some of the new kind.
I thought it was a normal one.
Okay, I thought it was. I thought it was going to be one of the new where you just open it online. That's cheaper. I don't think they went around the country.
Yeah, yet. No, it's cheaper, actually. If I were going to go public, I think in this day and age, I would just go ahead and use a direct listing, which is what you're talking about. But the direct listings, those normally go on the New York Stock Exchange. I honestly have not dug that much into how it's being brought, you know, how it's being brought out.
Well, the whole idea with the SPAC, I mean, It's like, well, you're going to be mad now because I'm telling you you can't invent a new fetish, but this has kind of been done before. We had poor guy's dead, unfortunately. He's a World War II hero, client back in the 90s, and they had a company. In those days, if you wanted to not pay all the money, you would have a company would go buy essentially a shell that was, you know, trading for, that had a listing on the Amex or New York, they might be trading for, you know, 2 cents, and you essentially, you'd buy that company, and then you'd merge your company in with theirs, then you'd have a day where the stock would essentially reopen mm-hmm. what it was now worth, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, and some SPACs are kind of like that. And you're right, the Coinbase is a direct listing, which means they haven't used an investment bank to go public.
And they're talking about, what, 250-ish? I heard somebody mumbling 600 yesterday. Now today it's 250 or 260.
Well, it'll be at 600, you know, when we go to lunch.
Yeah. are you one of the people we were talking about earlier there, that money is so plentiful it's you're using $100 bills to light your pipe, or are you the one of the guys?
I think money is so plentiful that people are doing really stupid stuff with it, like, you know, the non-fungible token or what, the NFTs, where, you know, I want to put my first ever tweet up for auction and see what I would get for it.
I'll give you $10.
How about your first interview on Stacks and Jacks when you become president someday?
That'd be great.
It'd be like your interview in Playboy.
Oh man, that's if I could have become that famous.
Well, no, back in the day, if you didn't have an interview in Playboy, boy, you were nobody. Even Jimmy Carter.
In that way we could all say, well, yeah, I just picked it up to read the Jimmy Carter interview.
That's right. They had to give you some reason.
Well, that's right. Yeah. You know, that was before the surgery for the girls, so, you know, it was a much straighter magazine, mm-hmm. just saying. They paid more for the jokes. All right, so tell us about the SPACs.
Okay, so the SPAC, if you do it, basically, a SPAC is kind of like a way to raise money like a private equity fund would raise money. And, you know, credible private equity funds, they'll raise $1 billion and then they'll, you know, start looking at pitches and try to find the next big thing, which in the industry logo is a unicorn. But the thing with a SPAC is you do have the alternative when they say, okay, here's what we're going to invest in, to ask for your money back. And when you read my email, you didn't read the title part. And I said, it reminds me an awful lot of the producers, because it is possible for somebody to raise it. If you raise money with a SPAC and you say, and I think $10 a share is like a common number there. So let's say I raise a SPAC, I raise $100 million because with the intent to go out and look for a really good business idea in, you know, new media that cures COVID or something, you know, that sounds really catchy. I raise a bunch of money from individuals. They're like, well, this is a no-risk deal. If I don't like what they end up coming up with, I can get my $10 back.
Well, now,
that is part of the deal. So it's like we could use it like an interest-free loan and then come back and say, well, we've decided that we're gonna invest in Facebook for dogs. You know, which I just don't know how you would monetize that, because dogs don't make the ultimate spending decision in their household. People do.
Well, if they don't eat one chow and they eat another, they just made the decision.
Yeah, yeah. So,
hey, I have a question. So,
that means that if I have a bunch of guys, you know, I saw the guy that I saw the person interviewed about how the SPACs work, and they're like, oh, we have the money, and then, you know, when we find the opportunity, we give everybody an out. So if you give everybody an at the money put option, it's easier to raise that $100 million than you think.
Okay, but we'll back up just a second. As you know, I'm a knucklehead for detail. We go out and get the $100 million. We come up. We're gonna buy Maddie Weber's car wash. All right. Mm-hmm. And 20 million of the people say, "I didn't get in this for a car wash." Mm-hmm. They want out. Does that mean we have to send them their 20, or is there a key trigger that we have to send everybody their money back? Or do we get, if 20 people?
You don't have to. It's an individual by individual thing.
So, but if the car wash costs $100 million, and 20 million people don't want in, do we now have the right to send everybody their money back and say the thing we didn't want to buy, we don't have enough money for, so we're just out?
Well, what's even better is you can go out that we could raise money for a SPAC again, and we could put in the offering document that if we don't find a suitable investment in the next 18 months, we will return your money. So you don't even, I read that after I sent you that email. So we could raise the $100 million, and if we put it in the bank for 18 months at 0.65%, and that, I did look up the 1 year CD rate right now, that would get us to $1 million, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
In 18 months. Well, you know, we could even hire somebody to do all the paperwork and stuff for us, because, you know, and pay them maybe $20,000 or $30,000.
But what number in your estimation? Of course, now people's mentality is a lot different than when you were ever younger. What number do the interest rates have to get to where all this stuff falls apart? I mean, clearly, if we find some guy who's going to give us $100 million, just waiting for us to come up with a brilliant idea for a year, he's probably less likely to do that if it's 1979 and he can put that at Continental Bank for 13% on his own.
Right, and I think. Again, if you're an individual, let's just say, and you got like $10,000 that you want to that you really want to roll the dice with speculatively, because you see other people getting rich right now, and you hear about this person that has a pretty good pedigree that's doing a SPAC, and you say, okay, well, I'm gonna give them my $10,000, and I know that in 18 months, if nothing good comes along, they're gonna give it back to me. My alternative is to put it into a CD that I'm going to make, what, $650 off of? Well, what the hell?
Yeah.
Now if I can make, you know, was it 650 or, yeah, 60. Now, on the other side of that, if all of a sudden rates start going up, then I can, you know, lock in a 4 or 5% rate, then it becomes a better either or decision. But I don't know what that threshold would be. But I assume that this is something that would not be working out in a higher interest rate environment. But individuals they don't have the, and I'm doing air quotes, risk-free alternatives that they used to have to make a little bit of coin, you know, interest-wise from a bank.
But in terms of,
it's just not an alternative anymore.
But if I could use a math term, it's like the second derivative of the curve. I mean, if Matty Weber walks in and you and I, and we'll find two good-looking ladies like Chartrank to sit there with us with all kinds of money, it's one thing to have Matty Weber walk in and say, I've got this idea, and then we'll have Thomas come in and I got this idea, and we shoot the crap out of his ideas and we decide whether it's a good idea or not before we give him money. That's mm-hmm. like the first derivative. The second derivative is Matty walks in as, just give me a bunch of dough, I'll think of something. I mean, somehow money is way too easy if the second one works.
It money is way too easy right now. And I mean, there's what, three times as much money around right now than when I started being on with you a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why you see that's why you see stupid stuff going on, because There's a great Simpsons where I think Bart Simpson visits an internet startup, and when he goes into the bathroom, the toilet roll is actually shares of their stock. Here, you know, oh, here, change the roll of stock and you can go to the bathroom. That's where we are right now, once again.
Except for the fact that it's
and
not...
once again, and I think remember pipe investments?
Yeah. Well, what are they?
Yeah, I mean, that's,
remember the name.
I think of SPACs being similar to that, but with an embedded put option.
Well, but you have, here's been my, you know, not observe. Well, now it's a bitch because it was an observation back then. It's never even. There's people that have gotten basically money jammed where the sun don't shine, whether they wanted it or not. And
right.
other people haven't gotten a raise in 15 years wondering. I just went, we said, one from the listeners said, I went for a can of corn yesterday. It was $2 instead of $1. I mean, the people that you and I know, I mean, a lot of people we know. Some people we know are on the other side of it, but a lot of people you and I know, the guys who work here in the building, they're not all of a sudden went from $50,000 to $125 in a week. You know, I mean,
no,
to where they're winging money all over the place. I mean, it's not even. I question that when restaurants and bars reopen in the city. I've been to a few of them, and I don't mind going out and I trying to be generous with the tip and so forth, because I know these people have had some bad times. there's no way I'm eating breakfast out 4 days a week at $15 an hour. I mean, it ain't happening. I mean, I'll be happy to take laundry out.
I look at it as a coffee decision. You know, is it easier for me to grab a large iced coffee from McDonald's, where sometimes they only charge $1 for it, or do I need to go through the 10 minutes of making it in the coffee room at Loyola?
Yeah, and I think there's a convenience thing and so forth.
There's a lot of those,
but I think the Sticker Shack. I mean, you see one of the ladies used to bartend up at the club. Her family at the Greek restaurant. They were all Greek. Out in is it right near Hawthorne Park? So what is that? What city is that? It's like 39th Street going west from
Melrose Cicero. Park.
No, it's like 39th west of Cicero, maybe 39th and Central, something like that. Wherever, I don't know what that is, but there's some suburb. But they had a place, and
it's in Cicero.
It probably is Cicero.
It is Cicero.
So I mean, you'd go to a table and there'd be, you'd see a Hispanic family, which are spectacular. You see the parents, you see the mother-in-law that lives with them, the mom. So there's like four adults and like six kids in some huge booth. What's that bill now? $150 for breakfast? I mean, 200? I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, there's no way that family's affording that. Who's kidding who? The idea that, I don't know, what is every one of these leases going to have to be redone? Because just with the, I don't think anybody is, well, I guess, in your best estimate, when are people going to go back to full capacity? Not just what the city lets them do, but what they're comfortable with.
Don't you think we got another summer of a little bit of partial stuff?
Well, I'm forgetting the part about people just not wanting to.
Well, that's part of it, what I'm thinking as well.
Well, I mean, some of it.
Kind of a combination.
Well, some of it it makes me aggravated. I was listening to some lady from the care facility talking about their care facility. They're now 97% vaccinated, and how nice it's going to be for people to be able to, visit the little old lady in the room next to you and eat dinner together and so forth, and how they were looking at it over the next several months getting back to normal. Hey, if you're 97% vaccinated, what are you doing for several months? Those people need to have somebody to eat dinner with tonight. I do. and I'm not in one. I just got the thing from the Buckingham Club. You still have to wear masks on the machines, even though they're 6 feet apart, because Lori's, whatever she is, doesn't trust the vaccines yet. Who the hell is she? Even people that are fully vaccinated.
She's in charge.
Well, yeah. Well,
She's the boss. My feeling about Laurie, and my daughter and I talked about this because she felt like Laurie was being a bit harsh. My daughter's like the most liberal person in the world right now in her mind. And I said, when I look at her, I look at somebody that I look at somebody that probably got picked on an awful lot. And sometimes, that history is working its way into her. And she's, now it's my time to kind of push back on everybody.
Well,
she probably doesn't even think of it that way, but I feel like, she probably, because she's kind of, she's not a very tall person. She's kind of a small person. She's probably a little kid, too. And I just feel like there's probably some of that going on there.
Lady in my black said, "Don't you love her? She's the aunt you never wanted." I said, "That's not exactly why." But that is the truth. But it's like, anyway, Russell, thank you very much. Good luck. We'll get your full story next week. Were you down at Mar-a-Lago?
I've never been down to Mar-a-Lago, but
The big Republican
probably will never be invited.
No. All right, bud, take care. So SP Futures down 1, NASDAQ Futures up 29. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks with phones, we hope.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708 708- 403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.